following is a message from Pastor Kelly Hewitt and Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
That's what this series is all about. Come and see me. Come and see God incarnate, God made human for you and for me. That's what we're doing here. Let me recap a few things for you if you missed last week. The series we're in is called Come and See. We're walking through the Gospel of Luke. There are some of you who probably can recite the section we're going to look at tonight from memory. Probably many of you could recite from memory most of chapter 1 and at least the first, 15 verses of chapter 2. Because you've said them, you learned them, you've heard them. But this series is designed to help us to pause and to come and to see our Savior in a new way. So to recap where we started with last week hearing about how God brought this message to Mary. How it wasn't just by chance that Jesus entered the world, when he did, how he did, and exactly where he did, who his mom and dad were, the entire circumstances revolving around him. We looked at how the prophecies for thousands of years had said that's how he'd show up. Before that section, there was a little blip in there that talks about this guy named John, the birth of God, John the Baptist. Some of you know who he is. His mom was Elizabeth. She was past childbearing years. I'm not going to say at what age she was. We were told she's old enough that she's past childbearing years. I've learned as I've grown older, you don't say she was old, because that means, guess what? When you get to be in that age bracket, you don't think you're old, but you've been saying it's old for a long time. So you say it's not old. She was just past childbearing years. Her husband couldn't have kids. They couldn't have kids. This was a huge dishonor to their family. Huge dishonor. Everyone would have known about this priest who couldn't have kids. In that day and age, if you couldn't have kids, you were shunned. It was a shameful thing. And then the next story we got was last week when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And it wasn't by chance. And as we looked at that entire account, we saw Mary's faith. And I said, we're going to have to wait and look at what Mary's response is next time. So go ahead. If you're filling the blanker, this is where you pull out your bulletins and you're filling in blanks. Mary's reactions, Mary's response. How did Mary respond to this message that though she is a virgin, though she is a teenager? Can we jump to those slides? I know I'm jumping three slides ahead to that first picture. The first image. We're going to go to the second one then. This one. How many of you have seen pictures that look something like this? If you kind of even look right back there, it wasn't daylight when I took them, so you can kind of... This is a picture that most of us see of the image of Mary. These are the most popular ones throughout history, the most popular artist renditions of Mary. She seems to always be this 20-something. Go ahead and put the next one up there. This is probably a more accurate picture of the concept of Mary that you need to have in your mind. Somewhere between 12 and 15, Middle Eastern Jewish girl. All the pictures we see, if you Google Mother Mary, she's this beautiful Anglican German woman. She was from the Middle East. She would have had Middle Eastern characteristics. So this is a picture we're putting in our mind as we're reading this. As we're hearing about this woman who had this faith that didn't call God into question, how's this going to be? Her only question to this point has been, I'm a virgin, I get how biology works, I shouldn't be having a kid. That's her only question so far, is the biological question. How's this practically going to function? We don't hear doubt, we don't hear worry, we hear faith and trust in her Savior, and one question about the logistics. So now we go back to the opening line that we're going to look at, the opening part of our text. So we see Mary's reaction, and her reaction is this. At that time, so Mary hears the news, and her next reaction, this is the next line. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. So you have this 12 or 13-year-old gal who finds out she's pregnant by God, and her first reaction is, I need to seek out somebody who's going to understand this. Because guess what? My mom ain't going to get it. I'm pretty sure my friends in the village aren't going to get it. There's only one other person currently alive that might possibly understand the emotional roller coaster I'm currently going on. And that is my older, by 30 plus years, cousin, Elizabeth, who is also pregnant, well past her childbearing years. So we have these two women who shouldn't be pregnant, who are now pregnant. And Mary gets this, her reaction is, I'm going to go see Elizabeth, because right now, she's the only person I know who can commiserate or understand what I'm going through. So go ahead and go to the picture of the map, if you would. It is roughly, depending on the exact track, 80 to 100 miles from Nazareth in the north to the hill country of Judea. And it's not Wisconsin flat walking. Hill country of Judea is extremely mountainous. Hills, a couple hundred feet high, then going down. It is a hard hike. Finds out she's pregnant. She bolts for the hill country of Judea to be with the only person she grasps at this time might understand all of the emotions that she's going through. The only other person to kind of grasp, what does this prophecy mean? And how does this fit for me? So what does she do? She goes and she finds family. Mary seeks family. Think about your life situations. This last 2 weeks, I have had an intimate reminder of the need for family. And I'm not just talking blood family. The intimate family that comes with joining with a group of people, studying God's Word, and walking with them. Because you see, this week, last 2 weeks, we've had a Sunday night person who has lost an uncle due to suicide that was unforeseen. As we were here praying for him, he was in his hours of despair a couple weeks ago. We've had another one who's lost their job. And as I sit here and I receive word of this, I'm not the first person told. You see, people have had this issue. They've had these things going on in their lives. And the first people they tell are their small group, their community group. Some of you are in those small groups. You get to understand what this is. It's more than, hey, I have a pastor to go to. It's, I have a family who's going to understand and be around me at my time of need, at my time of understanding. People who get me. People who've seen me through great days and people who get me when I'm struggling. That's why we have community groups. It's not just to say, hey, I go to Bible study midweek. It's to provide a place that we can have a family to dig in and get study God's Word together. And that's what Mary did. She went to the one person she knew could help her understand. She went to her cousin Elizabeth and her mute husband who was a priest. Go ahead and go to the next one. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth, older, unable to have kids, now having kids. Her husband is mute. What, do you remember why her husband's mute? Meaning he can hear, but he can't speak? Or is that dumb? Yeah.
Mute. You wouldn't believe that God was going to do it.
He told the angel who came to tell him, hey, by the way, you and your wife are going to have a kid. He told the angel, hey, angel, I get the biology thing. We're too old to have kids. So go back and tell God we're not going to have a kid. I don't believe that we can have a kid. It's pretty much his response. It was a response of doubt. This is a guy who got to go into the inner holy of holies. He is the priest of priests. He was chosen by lot to get to go where no other Israelite got to go once a year. That was his job. He got to go in. And while he was in there, the angel Gabriel came, gave him a message, and he said, I'm not quite believing you. I've heard all the Bible stories, but I don't get it. I'm not going to trust it. And so God made him a mute. He couldn't speak. So God blesses Elizabeth by sending a young gal to be a chatter friend with, a person to talk with, a person to go through all of the emotions that are going to go on through the pregnancy. Because guess what? Zachariah is no help to his wife. All he can do is nod or walk away. That's not much help. So, we're with Elizabeth. Elizabeth hears her, and what happens? This section, we could spend a month on. We could. We could spend an entire 4 weeks just looking at these words. And I'm going to challenge you this week when the text message comes to you and it's these words, to honestly spend 10 minutes instead of 5 minutes and dig into this. Because what you're hearing in this section, we could dig into the abortion issue. Because you have a child that is at 6 months who is leaping in the womb at the voice of somebody else. So the child can hear and is apparently a person. And if you go to Luke chapter 1 verse 15, it says the Holy Spirit will fill him from birth, except for the Greek word there means also from in the womb. So you have this picture that the Holy Spirit is filling John the Baptist in his mom's womb and he leaps out. This is more than a kick for those who have been pregnant. It's something so far beyond that Elizabeth, who's 6 months long, knows that this is of God. This is an amazing picture that God uses this woman, Elizabeth. And what does he say? What does he use? We have this picture, and then we can go through this, but we're talking Mary's reaction. Mary is a young woman who has gotten to the woman who is the only other person on the planet that she knows that can commiserate with her. And what is her response? Her response is, God, go ahead and put it up there. God, put the next line in there, reassures Mary through Elizabeth. I had three different words in there earlier today, so I wanted to make sure which one I put up on the screen. God reassures Mary through Elizabeth. You see, Mary is wondering what's going on. You've heard the question she's had. It's not doubt, but before Mary can even ask Elizabeth a question, before Mary can even do anything or bring any questions to Elizabeth, Elizabeth knows she's pregnant. God's revealed it to her. And before that, he allows her to say, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the child you will bear." That you would be the mother of, I want you to underline or put a box around, my Lord. She is a priestly family. Priests and Old Testament Jews would use two words for God, Elohim and Adonai. Elohim is the God of power. So when you see God destroying nations, it is typically Elohim. Adonai is the faithful love God, the God who fulfills his covenant. And that's the way you look at it. And that's what she's using here, that this is my Lord. Her cousin is admitting up front that she needs a Savior. And God is using Elizabeth to reassure Mary. So she's had this angel who popped up and said, "Hey, you're having a kid." Okay. But now he gives her a person to talk this through with. What an amazing blessing for Mary. Think about that best friend you have. That best friend you have that when life hits you with something, you can go to talk to them and it doesn't matter what the topic is. Because they're still going to love you. They're still going to care for you. They're still going to help you. That was Elizabeth for Mary. Mary, God used Elizabeth to speak his love to Mary. Go ahead. And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her and what he will accomplish. I want you to underline that last line. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said. It's really simple. God speaks, we listen, we respond in him. God speaks, we listen, we respond in him. As you take a look at this entire account, nowhere does it say that Mary is a virtuous person better than anybody else, that she's perfect. Nor does it say that. But what is stated about her is that she believes what Jesus says to her, or what the angel Gabriel says to her about her child, Jesus. What an amazing blessing for her, that God has given her the faith to believe what he has said. And he does the same thing for us too, doesn't he? I want you all to pull out your smartphones or the Bible in front of you. Pull it out. This is interaction time. Or your smartphone. How many of you use your Bibles or your smartphones as your Bible? A couple people. Or your tablets. The same thing that happened to Mary through Elizabeth happens to us. As we dig into his word, as we open it up, as we study with others, God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. And here's the amazing thing, folks. If you want to claim God isn't speaking, the first question I'm going to ever ask you is, are you spending time to him listening? Are you spending time listening? It's very easy to accuse God of not acting in your life. It's very easy to accuse God of saying, you're not working fast enough. But one of the questions is, that I'm always going to ask you first is, are you doing what Mary did? Are you listening to Him first? Are you spending time listening to Him first? Are you hearing Him? Are you allowing Him to speak to you? Or are you just saying, I'm waiting for that big act? This is a really big act for Mary, by the way. Pregnant, you know, outside of marriage, outside of sex, that's a pretty big act. I think I'm going to trust that God is doing what He says He is. But in our lives, He says, I'm going to speak to you through My Word. Gather around people who are with you, and they're going to help you understand this. Go ahead and go to the next one. And Mary's response. Here's where we hear Mary respond. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. So I want you to start, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, and I want you to put a box around God my Savior. I like putting boxes around sections of words because that helps draw my eyes when I go back to look at them. And it draws my eyes to this because here Mary confesses. What happens in Mary? Mary hears she's going to have a kid. Mary hears she's going to have a kid out of wedlock. She's now traveled 90 to 100 miles to her cousin's house. You're talking about a 10-day journey if you are a good, fast walker. It's a 10-day journey-ish. You're hitting down there. She gets there. Her cousin says, hey, the child you have is going to be our Lord. And Mary's first response, my soul rejoices in the Lord and my Savior. She begins her response with confession. The recognition that she needs a Savior. She isn't perfect. There are a lot of misconceptions about Mary out there that say Mary was this perfect gal who always remained as a virgin. No. She confesses here that she had need of a Savior, that she was sinful, that that's where everything begins, is understanding everything going on in my life. If I have worries, if I have cares, if life is falling apart, first thing I do is I confess to God, this isn't anything that I have a right for. Lord, I bring to You, You are my Savior. Listen to me. I admit I am a humble person. I know I sin, and that's what she's saying. And we know that she had other kids, so she didn't remain a virgin ever because it says Jesus' mother and brothers came to get her. So those are the two major myths around Mary. She wasn't perfect, and she had other kids. But you go back to this section, rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. How many of you have seen the movie Gladiator? I know it's a little older, okay? On Maximus's arm, he has something tattooed. Do you remember that he actually spends a portion of the movie trying to use pottery to scrape the tattoo off? It was the mark of a slave legionnaire that was to brand him for life so that everyone would know that he was property of the Roman military. And so he tried to scrape it off so people wouldn't know that. What this is here, where it says the state of his servant, is depending on which culture you'd be in, it was not uncommon for tattoos or brands to be made on the wrists that would say Doulos if you were a female or Doulos if you were a boy, yay, and then the name of the person, slave of someone, so that you would be branded as that person. It would not be uncommon in Roman culture for that to take place. So that when you run away, hey, this person has the mark of a slave. She is at this point not using the word servant I just humbly before you. This is the same word that is used in the Roman culture for slave. Before your humble slave, the person who is going to do whatever you ask, God, because You are my master. You are the one who loves me. You are the one whom I serve. That is an amazing picture here. She first begins with confession. She then seconds that with humility. Think about our lives, our worship lives, our problems. When the last time you had a major concern in your life, was your first thing, your first prayer, Lord, I'm in need. I have no right to come to You. Or was your first prayer, Lord, where are You? I mean, you see here, Mary worships instead of worrying. Instead of going at all of the things that could be bombarding her life, instead of being concerned with currently at this moment in her life, she ran away from her family, essentially, at home. She doesn't know necessarily if Joseph is going to accept her back. She now has the reputation as a harlot or one who sleeps around outside of marriage with her entire small town of Nazareth, which maybe has 300 people in it. So you want to talk about small town news, how fast do you think it spread that Mary was pregnant? She had a bad reputation. Now you bring into the fact that she's pregnant, pregnancy concerns. Pregnancy was dangerous in these days. A lot of people died from pregnancy. So you have all these things that she could be panicked about. And her first response is, Lord, I'm your servant. I need a Savior. That's how she talks to God. She worships instead of worries. Instead of worrying. So I got to ask the question, how do we have that? I mean, I know personally I have a lot of worries. I do. I have a lot of tasks I have to get done, not enough hours in the day. I worry at times about whether I'm a good husband or a father. I worry about our unborn child. Is it going to be healthy? How is the pregnancy going to go? I worry about my wife. How is she going to endure the pregnancy? I have worries for people here that I work with, that I know of the pain that's going on in their lives, and it can become overwhelming. So this isn't me standing up here giving you the answers. It's me looking with you at this question of what's going on in your life that you're worrying about and asking the question with you. How do we change our worry to worship? How do we learn from Mary? How do we change from being people who are overwhelmed with worry to people who worship our Savior? How do we join Mary at the manger to see our Savior? That's what the answer is. How do you change worship or worry to worship? By coming to see your Savior. By following Mary's plan. Beginning with this layout of saying, hey, I know I don't deserve your help, God. I know that. I am desperately in need of your Son to save me, to pull me out of this situation, to pull me out of my worry pit, to put me in a place that is a place of trust and confidence in you. And then you keep going with this. And she says, from all generations will call me blessed. His mercy extends to those who fear Him. To those who fear Him is the ancient way of saying, for those who trust in Him, who fear in the sense of fear, reverence, and awe, those who trust the fact that you are God and you are going to take care of Him. She says, mercy extends to those people. Mercy extends to us when we worship instead of worry. What an amazing blessing that we have in this Savior of ours. What an amazing blessing we have that He can use His mom at a time when she could be really worrying to show us what worship looks like. From generation to generation, that includes us. Go ahead. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has shattered those who are proud with their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. This is her song. We hear it regularly with Koine's Vesper service. We're going to hear it around Christmas. It's called Mary, Did You Know? It includes in that one. So you see the song. The entire song does what? It praises God for all that He's done. She doesn't ask for anything. She worships. Her response to finding out that she's pregnant, her response to spending time with Elizabeth is worship. Is lifting God's name up to all the things that He has done. So those of you who struggle with depression, those of you who struggle with worrying, those of you who are feeling overwhelmed, when was the last time you made a list of all the things that God had done in your life? And just said, Lord, thank you for this long list. In the old movie, White Christmas, there's count your blessings instead of sheep. It's that concept. To take time and to recount and actually write out. This isn't just list them, but actually take the time, fill up a notebook of all the things God has blessed you with. All the things that God has blessed your family with. All the things that God has blessed those you know with. Because that's what Mary does in this song. Is instead of worrying, she goes ahead and worships God for all that He has done for her and for all those that are in her extended family. What an amazing gift at Christmas to come and see how Mary responds to the message. That she responds in worship instead of worry. So here's the challenge for you this week. There's going to be a two-part challenge. Challenge one. Have you made a list lately, or make a list of all the ways God has blessed you, of all the ways that God has poured out His gracious mercies upon you? And challenge number two is going to be to join in on our text messaging campaign from now until Christmas. Can you jump to the announcements, John, to the slide about that, the text message, come and see to 51555? This is something I'm going to challenge you to do. We've been doing it now for 1 week. The first text went out last week, Monday. And it's 140 characters of God's Word. And I'm going to tell you right now, because I posted them this morning for the rest of the week, if you take a look at these passages, you're going to see the same passages that you saw today, that we talked about tonight. But my challenge for you is to take that text message that comes in at 11:45 in the morning and to spend 5 minutes and say, God, what can you teach me in these 5 minutes from these 140 characters? I don't want you to open your Bibles. I don't want you to open your apps unless there's a link to open the app for you, because I want you to spend time looking only at that section, and I want you to be sitting there asking God, Lord, like you taught Mary, what do you have to teach me in this 140 characters? What are you teaching me and showing me, and how can I learn to love and follow you through these 140 characters of yours this morning? And if you can't do it at noon, don't look at the text message until you get home and you have time to look at it, so you can keep doing it. And then my challenge is going to be to take a screenshot. One of you has already been doing this. Post it to Facebook with your 5 points. What did you learn? Or share it with a friend and say, these are the 5 things I learned today. So I'm going to give you the example. If you can go back to that last. So you're going to get the section where it says, he performed mighty deeds with his arms, scattered those who are proud with their inmost thoughts. This whole section is going to come as a link going out, because it's a long section I didn't want to break up for you. So when you see this section, what 5 things do you learn? And I hope by that point, when you get this text message that has these, one of the 5 things you're going to remember is, I need to start creating that list of ways God has been blessing me, of where I see Christ forgiving me and showing mercy in my life instead of giving me into worry, to know that I have a Savior who's forgiven me, has washed it away, and I can now live for Him every day free of that worry because of all of the things He's done for me, starting with His death and resurrection. That's what I hope is at least one of your points. Maybe that's 2 of them. So now you have 2 of the 5 points for this text when it comes up in your text messages. But if you don't text come and see, you won't get those text messages. That'll be up after the service if you need to have a reminder of that. This is the God we have, a God who says, I enter life for you. I enter this world to show you my love, to show you my mercy, and to experience everything just as you've experienced it. You need not worry, but trust in me.